So music for me is a huge part of how I deal with my mental health. Since a really young age, it's basically been a form of therapy for me. You know, I struggled with depression and anxiety and panic attacks all throughout high school. And even now, I still have to battle depression and anxiety. And anytime I'm in a really dark place or a low place where I'm just so overwhelmed by either emptiness or just overwhelming feelings or whatever it is, I find that for me, my outlet is to sit down and write all my emotions down on paper and give them to the Lord. And in that place, He always shows me hope. You know, it doesn't always necessarily change my feelings or magically heal my depression, but it does always remind me of who He is, even in the midst of that, and that He's with me. And so honestly, music has been probably the most powerful tool that God has used to help me in my battle with mental health, and also to help me find the hope even in the midst of that.
Well, that is Lydia Laird, and we are so thankful that she is in studio with us this morning. Lydia, thanks for making the trip to West Michigan on this first day of fall.
Oh my goodness, I'm so happy to be here, guys. Thanks for having me.
This is our first introduction to you, and really excited to get to know a girl from Texas who then moved to Nashville and now sings music on the radio.
Absolutely, and is very cold here.
I was going to say, I want to start off with that. You're from Texas, and you're in Michigan as we transition into fall. How's the temperature treating?
I literally walked out of the hotel, and I was like, oh my gosh, it's so cold. I need a jacket. And yep. You guys are like, oh, this is nothing.
It could be shorts weather.
We know what's still to come. And so we have to enjoy this while we have it. Right. Well, Lydia, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself? One of the things, if you look online, you come from a big family.
Oh, it's not that big. Just 10 of us. 10 kids. No big deal.
Where do you fall in the 10?
I'm number 7. Okay. Lucky number 7. It's the holy number. I mean, it means a lot of things. Technically, it's the number of completion. So I don't know what happened with the other three.
What's the ratio of girls to boys?
7 girls, 3 boys.
And how are your parents holding up?
They've lost their minds. I'm just kidding. No. So they had 2 boys, 7 girls, and then 1 boy at the end. So imagine how hard that was for him.
Well, I bet he was really spoiled, wasn't he? Like having...
A lot of people tested makeup on him, nail polish. Poor kid. Dad would be like, stop it right now.
I have that too. I have 3 sisters and 1 brother, and he is the littlest.
Oh my goodness.
And so, yeah, it was constant like dress up. Mm-hmm. The fact that he is very manly now,
yes.
You know, that's kind of surprising just with all the things that his sisters put him through.
Totally. So. Same with Jesse. He is about 6'4", I think. He's like this jack dude, total man. I'm like, how were you after 7 of us? Like, no sense.
So why don't you lay down a little bit of the foundation? So you came from a big family. How did you end up doing the music thing? Because now we've heard your music and it's inspired and encouraged hundreds of thousands of people. So wow, tell us how you got there.
Yeah, well, so I grew up in just such a mission-minded family. My dad was a pastor and felt called to missions when I was about 5. So we were missionaries in Romania. And a big part of how we raised funds and just did ministry was through music. So all of us could sing. We were kind of weird. We were like the Von Trapp family from Sound of Music. Like, mom would dress us all in the same outfit and we would literally go church to church and sing. And a lot of times in pictures you would see me like, I already was cool and like a fashionista, you know, at 5. So I would get like really embarrassed, like, I don't want to be in this picture with everybody. But I just think from a very young age, because of that kind of influence, to me, like ministry and music, they just always went hand in hand. And also from a very young age, like writing was a form of therapy for me, like I said. And so I think 9 years old is when I first wrote my first song.
Wow.
Yeah, my mom had miscarried. And for us, we were so family oriented. It was such a difficult thing that I was like, oh my gosh, I don't know how to process these emotions. And I remember just sitting outside and writing how I felt through song. And so ever since then, I just knew, you know, I want to make a difference in this world. I want to reach the lost for Jesus, and I want to do that through music.
Well, one of the songs that has made a big impact for a lot of people who listen to WCSG is called Hallelujah Even Here. You want to give us the story behind that one?
Absolutely. So I had moved to Nashville about 7 years ago at the time when I wrote this song. And I left my family, left my home, left all my kind of comfort zone to pursue this calling I felt like I was supposed to pursue. And I was just walking into 2 record deal offers, and I could not believe it was finally happening. Mm. And right about that time, I had some medical issues that had the potential to take my voice away. And it was, for me, I mean, anybody who's been like so excited about a dream, so excited about something, and all of a sudden the door being slammed in your face, it was just a really scary time. And so I remember sitting there and just struggling with what God was doing, not understanding why He would lead this far for this to be the result. And, you know, I think a lot of us have been in positions like that, whether it be like a relationship or a job or a sickness. And you're just like, but why? Mm-hmm. Like, God, why would you bring me to this place? And the day I wrote that song, I was just being really honest about how I was feeling. And that first verse was it. Like, right now, I feel overwhelmed. Like, right now, I don't feel like it is well with my soul. I was just struggling with that. And me and my friends, we looked at the Psalms and how David so often, he would feel every emotion we feel. And he was like this passionate guy. Sometimes he felt bipolar. Like, he was like angry, sad, anxious, all these things. And then all of a sudden, he would switch from these negative emotions and all of a sudden just kind of choose to praise God.
Yeah.
And it seems like, it doesn't seem like it lines up for him to go from those emotions to praise so quickly. But I don't think it's because he was just like, oh, I'm so holy, now I feel like praising God. I think it's because he knew this tool in worship that we have, and it's choosing to put our faith in God even when we don't feel it. Mm. Even if we're like, God, I believe, help my unbelief. And for me, that's what that song was. It was kind of planting my flag and saying, you know, I don't feel like this. I'm upset. I'm emotional. I'm depressed. I don't know where this is going, but I'm going to choose to praise you, not for what you're necessarily going to do, but for who you are. Hmm. And I believe that that just has so much power for each of us in whatever we're facing.
Well, I think we can wrap it up with that. No, I'm just kidding.
And goodbye, everyone.
No, really good words. Lydia, this is our first chance getting to meet you. So thankful that you came in this morning. Do you mind if we just have some fun and just ask some pretty easy questions?
I hate fun.
Oh,
I'm just kidding. Let's go.
All right. Well, you've come to the wrong place. Okay. You are from Texas, and in the Midwest, when the weather turns like it has today and it gets a little bit cold and a little bit blustery, there is something that comes out of all of our cupboards, and it is our crock pot. Wow. In Texas, do you have the obsession with the slow cooker like we have here?
No.
No, not at all? No,
at least not in my family. Maybe everybody else is like busting out the crock pot. We didn't.
Okay. Now, it is a first day of fall, so here's another question for you. I know that fall where you're from is maybe a little different than it is in Michigan, but if you had to plan out your perfect fall day, what would it look like?
Man, why you gotta do me like that? You know, I'm like that pumpkin spice latte girl.
That's Are you fine. Really?
Yes.
That's fine.
Okay.
A lot of people do it. Otherwise, we wouldn't have pumpkin spice everything.
I know. It's not negative. No. I mean, a perfect fall day, for me, it would be like hanging out with family in East Texas, which means it'd be about 80 degrees.
Oh, nice.
Dude, pumpkin patches. I love pumpkin patches. I love bonfires, s'mores, all the fall-like things. I love the experience. Like,
yes.
You know, the smells and the cinnamon and all that. So, I mean, probably the same as you guys, just more hot.
Yes. So, are you super into football if you're from Texas?
I am and I'm not. Like, you can't ask me a question and I'm like, oh yeah, I know exactly what happened and how many yards he ran and all that. But I'm going to always say I'm a Dallas Cowboys fan because they're America's team.
Okay.
Oh, they all agreed. It's crazy. Everybody in here was like, yes, go Cowboys. So yeah.
You have to understand, we are from Michigan. And so we have been cheering for the Lions for a long time, only to be disappointed each and every week. So.
They have been in a rebuilding year for about the past 2 decades.
Oh,
so
my goodness.
We don't really, I don't feel like we have.
But you're loyal. A team.
We're loyal still. Yeah.
You gotta be loyal to your team.
Best. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. So speaking of fall, are you team apple or team pumpkin?
Oh my goodness, pumpkin, apple. Who? Why? Who's bringing that up? That's crazy.
Well, in Michigan, we're big apple people. We
what
have
do
the
you
trees.
Do? What, like apple cider? Is that your drink?
Apple. Is it our drink?
Your eyes is like water with vinegar. Is basically what that
oh,
is.
Oh wow. That's okay. Hilarious. I never thought about it that way.
You know, we love apple pie. We love apple, like
apple picking.
Yeah, going apple picking, like it's a whole vibe.
I've never done that in my life.
Okay, well, next time you come, we need to schedule some time to take you up to Robinette's and do the whole apple
goodness.
Thing because it is. It's a whole thing we do here.
That sounds fun, actually.
All right, learning a little bit more about Lydia Layard. Here's something that came up earlier this week between Amanda and I. We've been doing the morning show for about 7 years. We've known each other for longer, but this week, kind of realization that we eat string cheese different ways.
Oh no.
Do you bite it or do you pull it?
I pull it. It tastes different.
I agree.
It really does. Like if you just what show is it? Is it Office or something? There's like an episode where they're like, what's wrong with you? Are you a serial killer? Because he literally just takes the string cheese and just bites half it off. To me, that's like, it doesn't even taste the same when you do that.
No, I bite and it
she goes too fast. Like, don't you want to just enjoy your piece of cheese?
Yes. Yeah. It's string cheese. Just go buy a block of cheese, man.
So you're on Team Amanda. Yes. I appreciate that.
Let's see. Before we get to another song, how about when you were a kid, what did you think the best part of being a grown-up would be? And do you find that to be true?
Probably not being told no when I wanted to do something.
Oh.
And do I find it being true? No, I don't. Being an adult is the worst.
Still so many rules that you never even thought about when you were a kid.
And then you're like, man, I wish somebody could tell me I don't have to do this right now.
Right. Lydia Laird is in studio with us this morning. So thankful that you took some time to visit us on this first day of fall. I know it's a little cool for a Texas girl, but you're making it. You're doing a good job.
I'm experiencing new things. Just kidding. Yeah. I've definitely been in 50 degree weather before, guys. I just want to throw that out there. This isn't totally new.
You do have a jean jacket on today, which I feel like is a perfect fall outfit staple. Like, you always have to have a jean jacket.
But absolutely.
If you had to choose between one of the three, jean jacket, flannel shirt, or hoodie, which one are you choosing?
Hoodie.
Yeah. All day
every
long?
Every time.
Come on, hoodies are awesome.
Yeah. We actually celebrate when it becomes hoodie season here. Like, when it gets cold enough, like, all right, we can put on this hooded sweatshirt.
I almost wore one today. Y'all would have been like, who is this? It's not time.
So we are spending time with Lydia Laird. Lydia, we've had a chance to connect with you with Hallelujah Even Here, but maybe tell us, what else have you been doing with music? Have you been touring? Do you have more music coming out? What's the lay of the land on that?
Sure, yeah. So I've been writing a lot. We still have I signed a record deal and then COVID came. So, you know, it wasn't like the most wonderful time. So I have so many songs that I feel like are just kind of sitting right now that we're trying to figure out, okay, with everything going on, with figuring out tours and all this stuff, what's the right move? But it's just been so neat because this year was the first year that I actually got to play these songs. I released the EP and then everything shut down. And it was like this year I got to start playing shows and sitting there and singing and looking out in the audience and seeing people sing your songs. It was like, wait, what? Like,
people have heard these.
Like, yes. You know, so that has been something really cool about this year. And, you know, obviously we all still feel like there's so much in the air right now, up in the air. And so I'm still looking towards the future with, you know, unsurety as far as like timing and everything. But I'm really excited about releasing new music, hopefully very soon.
And I think one of the important parts of your ministry is your openness about your struggle with mental health. Mm-hmm. And if you visit your website, you have tons of resources there, videos and podcasts you can listen to and playlists for songs. Can you speak into that a little bit? Why does that matter to you?
Well, so, man, that's such a big part of my own story. You know, I grew up in an incredible home with 9 brothers and sisters. Yes, 9. We were, you know, involved in the church from a very young age. I became a Christian at 4, as much as you can understand the gospel at that age. And I battled with depression, anxiety, and panic attacks. I mean, kind of the whole gamut off and on throughout my life. And growing up, I just didn't hear about mental health. I didn't hear about different tools or that it was really okay to use different tools to get help. And so a big part of my story was just my struggle to kind of be set free from shame because I felt this need to be in the Word enough, pray enough, do enough spiritual things to finally feel okay. And it just never came. I never completely got over my struggles on my own. And so it was through a lot of, you know, wise counsel from professional therapists and doctors and other things where I realized, you know what? God is not sitting here waiting for us to mess up or saying, hey, you can't get any help, but read the Bible and it'll fix you. No, he's saying, yeah, read the Bible. That is truth and it's going to encourage you. But go out to community and use the tools I've given you. And so for me, I didn't until my 20s find freedom to even try an antidepressant or go to a counselor because I was like, why should I? I'm a pastor's kid. Like, I haven't gone through anything, you know? And I think that's just such a lie and it keeps us from getting help and from being honest with others. And so as an adult now who has been, you know, really blessed with tools and counsel and just so much freedom in this area, I want to help others by offering that to them.
And it's okay to have Jesus and a therapist.
Oh, 100%.
Nothing wrong with that.
I have one now. Everyone should get one.
For those that might have somebody in their life that is walking through depression, what is a good like first step to help them where they need to go?
I think the first step is just being open about it. Being honest with others, because that is something that I think the enemy, he wants to keep us in the dark. And if we bring it out into the light, it loses its power.
Yes.
Just as anything, sin, struggles, whatever. And I think we would be surprised if we could, you know, my dad said this once, if we saw what was in each of our closets, like in our minds, like our skeletons, our struggles or whatever, we would be amazed. We'd be like, you too? Like it's not just me. And it loses its power when you're able to talk about it and say, hey, I struggle like this. And then somebody's like, either me too, or okay, I don't understand that, but I'm with you.
Yeah.
And that's the biggest key is if somebody can feel fully seen, fully accepted, and know they're not alone, they can win the battle. And I'm not saying, oh, we're going to totally get over depression on this side of heaven. You may not. You may. I mean, there's definitely instances where you can, but I do think that's the first step. And then definitely seeking out professional help.
And Satan would love no more than for us to keep everything a secret and hide it from each other. Absolutely. Because then that's the way that he gets that power. So I appreciate those words. And your website is a great resource if someone is just like, I just want to check out something. Mm-hmm. Like, there's tons and tons of stuff there. You want to speak into your new song called I'll Be Okay?
Yes, thank you. So I'll Be Okay is one of the most personal songs I've ever written. I wrote it when I was in the valley of one of the deepest depressions I've been in. And I remember I was at a party hanging out with all my friends, like somebody's birthday or something. And if you've ever struggled with depression, like I have, you know that sometimes you're walking in it and you just feel kind of empty. Nothing mm-hmm. can help. And it can be awkward because you're trying to like fake a face or try to be enough or try to please people. And you just feel like, what's wrong with me? I can't do this. And that's how I felt this day at this party. And I ended up walking out of the room where everybody was hanging out. And I was just like so in a funk. And this girl happened to have a room with a piano and a door that shut. And I was like, that was the Lord, because I was like, oh, I'm going to go in there and I'm going to do what I do. And I'm going to have some therapy time and write. Mm. And so I literally sat down and just wrote like, God, I mean, I was desperate. I was desperate for help. And I just said, God, give me peace when I'm tossed and frightened, lost among the waves. And it's like, it's funny because God has given me this picture since then that I've started to share with people this year of like, you know, the disciples in the boat, we've all seen that story. We've read it a million times. And you may have related to one of the people, you know, Peter or whoever. And it's just amazing because we are in the boat. We're struggling, especially those of us who battle mental health, and we feel like nobody's there with us. We feel like Jesus is nowhere to be found. Mm. And that's the great lie the enemy gives us. And I love in that story how they are literally freaking out. They're looking at him like, you must not care. And that has nothing to do with his silence. He just knows where he's leading. He knows there's victory at the end, and he's not freaking out. He's just sleeping. And it's interesting because I've thought since then, you know what? Even when I'm struggling, because I still battle, especially in this season of life, you know, seasons are changing, a lot's going on in the world. A lot of people start to struggle with seasonal depression. And it's easy to go, okay, God, where are you? And to not want the energy to use the tools we have. But when you go, you know what? If it feels like Jesus is sleeping, I'm not going to freak out because he's not freaking out. And I know that he's with me because he's promised he is. And he won't ever leave. And my feelings may not be there right now, but I'm going to choose with the little bit of faith I have to believe he's in the boat and he's going to calm the storm in his time. And I think that that honors him.
Lydia Laird is in studio with us this morning. Thank you for making some time for us to get to know you a little bit better. We always feel like we get to know you a little bit through your music, but being able to spend some time chatting makes it so much better. You are from a big family. You have lots of siblings, 10 of you in total, six sisters, three brothers, and you had talked about how you had hand-me-downs growing up, and so you don't know how to shop. Is there a purchase that you've made recently that you are super excited about? Something for your house, something for your car? Maybe you bought a new car.
Oh gosh, I wish. I would love to. I'll actually take the Jeep outside if y'all don't mind. I mean, it has all the radio stuff on it, but I'll drive it around.
Yeah.
No, I mean, I'm trying to think. I was telling Sierra, like literally, because she's been wearing the cutest outfits all week. And I'm like, Sierra, for my label is here with me, guys who are listening. Nobody knows who I'm talking about. But I was asking her, I was like, where do you get all your outfits? And she's telling me how she online shops and does all this stuff. I'm like, I do not even know how to do that. Like literally all my life, it was hand-me-downs. And then I moved to Nashville in my 20s. And I was like, well, what do I wear now? Like, I can't be.
You didn't
cool
have
anymore.
A source.
I know, it was so hard. So yeah, I'm pretty sure you're asking that because of what I'm wearing. You're like, she does not know how to shop. We should
You look great.
I'm just
you got a Star Wars shirt on, jean jacket. Feels very Midwest in a way. So
yes, this is planned for y'all.
When you aren't doing music, what do you like to do?
I'm a big reader.
Oh, good.
C.S. Lewis is my favorite author. I know that makes me the most vanilla Christian girl ever, but he is. I love being outside, so I love hiking. I love outdoorsy stuff. I used to play volleyball. I'm wanting to like find a team to play with again just because it's so healthy. I told somebody the other day, I'm trying to get into the gym and become a workout girl. It's hard.
Yes, it is.
Oh my goodness, it's hard. Mainly because you have to eat healthy. And I, it's fine.
Okay, so when it comes to the volleyball, are you super competitive? Or are you just like, I hope both teams have a good time?
Oh, I am competitive, but I am nice. I remember in high school, like we played and there were always those girls on the team who would get so angry and then it would like poison the whole attitude and we'd totally lose. I'm not that person, but I am like, y'all, we gotta win.
You will do your best or you will not be here.
Absolutely.
Now, Go ahead. Oh, being homeschooled, were there any like domestic tasks that your mom or your dad taught you that you have carried with you? Or you're like, you know, I stayed far away from that.
Oh my goodness. I wasn't allowed to stay far away from that. So we had seven girls. So as you imagine, 7 days of the week, every day of the week was somebody's food day.
Okay.
So like Tuesday was mine. So every Tuesday I had to cook dinner. Mom also was like, she had this whole plan. I don't know how she did it. How do you do this with 10 kids? I have no idea. But she had a whole plan where every week your job changed. So like you would like clean the kitchen this week, or you would do this week, or you would whatever. So definitely learned a lot of those things. My specialty is fried chicken.
Okay.
And also homemade bread.
Wow.
So, yes.
All right. Is there a meal that maybe you tried once or twice and you're like, that was a huge mistake, I'll never do that again?
It would be something seafood related.
Fish is so hard.
Oh my goodness. Actually, I made lobster for the first time recently, which y'all are probably like, everybody makes lobster. No, it was my first time and it was so good and I was so proud of myself. But it's probably because I use like 20 gallons of butter.
Yeah. That's and not really everybody makes lobster all the time.
Okay,
so
I don't know.
To feel bad about
I was like Googling it and like you keep the shell on it and you're supposed to cut it in half and I could not cut it in half. I was like, how do people cut a shell? I looked like a crazy person in the kitchen. It was hilarious.
So earlier you were mentioning how you got your record deal, you started music, then pandemic kind of shut things down, but now you've been able to get a chance to get out and play. Now you're going around radio stations, getting people to know you a little bit more. Now that you have a way to get your voice out, what one piece of advice do you like to share with people?
Man, that one's hard. My one piece of advice, as far as like music or as far as just in general?
Whatever you want to pass on to people.
Man, I would say, like spiritually, I would say to live as if the truth sets you free. Because I think a lot of my life, I have not lived that way. And that affects every area of your life. Because if you're living any kind of version of the gospel that's not true, it's going to burden you. It's going to shame you. It's going to make you judge other people. And I think that is just so negative for the church. And so for me, one of the greatest things I can do is like when I'm struggling, I'm like, wait a second, the truth sets me free. So that's God's word. That's what he says about me. So yeah, just say that to yourself a lot. That helps me. On a practical level, I don't know. Make your bed every morning. I don't do it, but you should.
It is a good tip. It helps sets your day off on the right.
Well, when you get home and you return to climb into bed, you're like, oh yeah, it is me.
Oh yeah, you're like, what is this, a hotel?
Right.
Well, if you would like to hear more from Lydia, she has so many good words to say. If you have that handy Bible app on your phone, you did a 5-day devotional through YouVersion, and it really is a good reminder of how important it is to just stay grounded in the word, but also like if you're not doing okay, it's okay to admit that you're not doing okay.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. It's the Hallelujah Even Here devotional. If you guys want to look it up, it was one of those things where I felt very unworthy to be writing a devotional. And so it's just very honest and open and talking about things I've struggled with and hoping that it can help others as well. And I'm currently working on one for I'll Be Okay to kind of go along with that and the mental health concept, because I think so many of us, like I said, we just need to know we're not alone. Mm-hmm. And so when we're honest and vulnerable, especially people who are maybe on a platform like you guys probably know, when you're honest with others, they feel like they can be safe with you. So I love that.
Awesome.
Perfect. Well, a great way to end. Lydia Layard, thank you so much for the time you've been spending with us today. Look forward to seeing you again in the future. Anything else you want to leave before we let you go?
No, I just want to thank you guys so much. This has been awesome. And I love Michigan, even the cold. This is a great place. Guys are lucky to live here.
And we are going to have you come back next fall. And we're going to do the apple orchard.
Oh,
and
please,
you're going to change your mind on all things apple.
Or come back during the winter and then maybe change your mind a little bit.
Yeah,
driving
we'll see.
In snow is a treat. Thanks for the time you've been spending with Jeremy and Amanda, your family-friendly morning show on 91.3 WCSG.